Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the office, we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
better run. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Before we get to anything else, I was looking at the University of Memphis' social media site, and they've got big news on there. They've got big news on their Facebook page. This is straight from their Facebook page.
Here at the University of Memphis, our students have always been fierce and ferocious like tigers, but they've also always been resilient and resourceful. So we thought it was time for a change. A new mascot, Nibbles the Squirrel.
Squirrels would. There are a lot of squirrels on the Memphis campus. Makes a lot of sense from that perspective. When you think about it. More squirrel video here.
Now, with a new mascot also comes a new logo. With the U of M, we respect tradition.
They respect
so we
tradition.
Didn't look far when we created the Leaping Squirrel.
The Leaping Squirrel. It's the same bold M, Jeffrey, only with a squirrel leaping instead. So, Jeffrey, let me ask you this. What do you give their effort? What do you give the you graded on a...
I graded on the April Fool's curve, in which I find virtually nothing funny on April Fool's Day.
Sadly, it's not... It is a day that is... You know, I think part of it is... So much is fake now.
Correct.
So much is fake, and so much you can fall for on Twitter. There's so many parody accounts. There's so many, you know, whatever. LeBron traded, and then you look and you see it wasn't. There's an MLG and W parody account. There's everything's, half the world is fake now. So
Every day feels like you've got to go verify everything. Every day feels like April Fool's Day.
Well, and April Fool's Day is just National Unfunny People Day. Like, it's just a license for unfunny people to try to be funny.
But I don't think it was always thus. I mean, obviously the most famous April Fools, I think, at least in the sports world, is Sid Finch and sports. It's hard to believe this. When that Sports Illustrated came out, that the Mets had discovered this Tibetan pitcher who pitched barefoot and could throw it 160 miles. People, like,
bought it hook, line, and sinker?
Believed it, right? People actually believed it. And so I don't think, I mean, it's very clear that April Fool's has jumped the shark or the squirrel or the tiger or whatever else. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that happened exactly. There is, back in 1998, Fishman told me this, so I want to give him proper credit because, mm-hmm. man, he gets outraged if I don't give him proper credit. On April 1, 1998, tell me, so Burger King had an April Fool's joke. Do you know what they introduced on April 1st, 1998?
I do not recall.
We're Burger King believers here. The left-handed Whopper. It's a Whopper specifically made for left-handed people.
Don't recall that one.
So they did that one. 20 years ago, Google.
Yep. Launched Gmail.
Launched Gmail.
Not an April Fool's joke.
Well, it was written as a joke. And the amount of whatever it is, gigabytes or something.
It was one full gigabyte. At the time, it was insane.
Was insane. And it was, so it was written like it was a joke, but it actually was not a joke.
Correct.
That's when that Gmail was introduced 20 years ago today. Hard to believe that, isn't it?
Like, yes. It was enough to save over 13,000 emails when sites like Yahoo had enough space to keep 50.
That's incredible. Gmail, by the way. You want to guess how many active accounts Gmail has right now?
Oh, it's got to be in the billions, right?
1.8 billion.
Yeah.
1.8 billion. I probably, in my Gmail account, I'm using as much storage as, you know, was available 20 years ago. Because all my unanswered,
I feel like
undeleted emails.
My personal Gmail account just constantly sits in the, you have like 3% left.
Anyway, happy April Fool's Day to all who celebrate. And I do hope you had a great weekend. I had a highlight and a low light, Jeffrey, on my weekend. The low light was my damn laptop is dead.
Oh, no. How long did this one give you?
5 years.
How many years of service?
But there are things I need in it. And do you think I know anything about the cloud, how to connect to the cloud?
Absolutely
not. I do know it does connect, but I don't think I know my password, whatever. I have some notes I need to get out of that damn thing. So I'm going to go to I fix it, whatever it's called.
iFix or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to go to one of those places and hope that they can restore me, but it just won't charge. So that was the bad
thing.
Does
it work? Even though it won't charge, I used to have this one where it wouldn't charge, but you could still run it if it was connected to a power source. It just would not charge.
No, it's connected to a power source, so nothing happens. You push that little button up to the right.
Oh, boy.
Dead as a doornail. So
you have a nice paperweight.
But then I did enter a 5K for the first time, and I didn't realize this. It was the bunny run. And I didn't realize Brad was emceeing the bunny run.
Mm-hmm.
But Brad was emceeing the bunny run. It's something that we're involved in, evidently. And
the service, right?
One of the great things about being 62 is you can win your age division. And I'd like to be referred to as Grandmaster Calkins from now on. Because I was the winner in a grandmaster division, I got a giant chocolate bunny. So it was a hollow victory. Got your dad jokes here. Anyway, it was fun. It was fun, and so that was good. Did you? And then I watched a lot of basketball. How about you?
Watched a lot of basketball. Yesterday was. Let me tell you what. What a first Easter for the Wright family generation, whatever are.
Yeah. How'd she do?
So she woke up at 6:30.
That's good. She's
she being Joseph.
The break of dawn. You want to be there for the early
Correct.
Morning service.
And,
yeah.
And she wanted to do the sunrise
service. Sunrise service.
No one
that's good.
No one else did.
Yeah.
And I told Aaliyah, I could feel Leah getting up. I'm like, I got it.
Oh,
I got this one. And, I mean, from 6:30 till we tried to leave my house at 10. She was just screaming.
That's fantastic.
She did have an elite. She had an elite first Easter outfit. Went to church, then went to my parents' house. And then as the afternoon wound on, she was fine. But yesterday morning from about 6:30 till 10 was just a disaster.
You and I are living different lives now. Yeah. Someday. Anyway, so there you go. Today on the radio show, Dan Devine's going to join us in the next segment, talk about the NBA. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight after 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies and more. I did watch the Marc Gasol documentary over the weekend. Just tremendous.
So I haven't gotten to watch it. I want to lather up because he's, you know, we've gotten tickets, though, for Saturday, so I'm fired up.
And lots of folks, and you're seeing Mark. You see people with taking selfies with Mark around town. So he's back. I've seen him on Facebook now, back in town, it appears. And it's just Michael Blevins and that group do such an incredible job with it. And if you, as I said on Twitter, if you loved that team, and or even if you care deeply about this city, it absolutely gives you goosebumps. It's fantastic and just great. And I recommend it to anyone you can now. It's over there on our YouTube channel. So you can go watch it when you have a moment. Anyway, Chris Harrington will join us. So it's Dan Devine and then Chris Harrington. But we do have the Final Four is now set. It will conflict with the Marc Gasol game.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine, particularly given the matchups.
Well,
right?
I'm just fine with it because
anyway. Yes.
I mean, at this point, I think Purdue's probably the only team that can compete with UConn, and I'm still not convinced that they can.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, you've got Saturday at 6:09.
The early game is the Purdue game.
Yeah, the early game, it's 6:09.
I think it's 5:09.
So it's 5:09.
Yes,
it's 5:09. Is Purdue versus NC State. And then 8:49
No, 8:49. You had it right.
8:49.
Because they're on the same floor.
Is Alabama versus UConn. Early game, Purdue versus NC State. And then Alabama versus UConn. You have to say, I think there are things to look forward to in both of those matchups. There are ways I can talk myself to being interested in both of those matchups. But Purdue is favored by 9.5 over NC State. And UConn is favored by an 11.5 over Alabama.
Yep.
I don't know that there's been Final Fours when the spread has been that.
A combined 20 points.
A combined 20 points. But there you go. Well, let's take the games one at a time. We'll start with the one that is of most interest to local audiences, because there's some devout Tennessee fans out there. Purdue wins 72-66. Zach Edey, 40 points. A massive block at the end. Dalton Connect was tremendous himself, 37 points. And all anyone can talk about is the fouls, 33-11, free throw advantage. Zach Edey drew 14 fouls while being whistled for one. This is the first trip to the Final Four for Purdue. I mean, yeah.
Since 1980.
And there you go. So Tennessee fans are outraged today. Should they be?
I mean, I feel like Tennessee fans got the full experience.
That's what everyone has said all year long.
Like every Big Ten team, fan or everyone that watches a Purdue game, they're just going through the same emotions that every Purdue opponent has had. I mean, there is also this reality of what do you do with a guy that's 7'4" and
what's interesting is that is what happens in every Purdue game. Like I talked to Ben, who's Northwestern team,
yep,
played Purdue. They saw the same thing.
Chris Collins got tossed out of the game
because
he was like on an overtime. He was just
Do we think that every officiating crew is in the tank for Purdue?
No. I think
it is really hard to know to defend him, and
I think it's really hard to defend him, and I also think like part of defending him is, all right, let's just we got to be physical with him. Like, what else are you going to do? Are you just going to let him mow you down?
The other
option is, if you want to take the weekend, the other option is to do what Illinois tried to do, and it worked for about 15 minutes.
Right.
Which is go straight at him. And then say, he's going to get his, but we're going to try to take away everything else.
Right.
And Donovan Klingon completely dominated the game.
So, I mean, I understand the outrage on the part of Tennessee fans, but it is outrage that we have seen literally all season long with anyone who plays Purdue. There were certainly moments in that game where you thought Tennessee would win. Tennessee had them on the ropes. I mean, it was a really entertaining game. What's interesting is, the first time they played, it was 71-67. This time it's 72-66. Nearly identical from that perspective. And I think obviously a fabulous year for UT, right?
Absolutely.
Fabulous year for UT. If they could have been the number one seed out west, which they would have been except for they lost to Kentucky and Mississippi State down the stretch,
yeah.
I mean, who knows, right? That's some alternate universe. But I think that really hurt him. Zach Edey played all but 33 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, they put him on the bench to try to, like, steal some...
A few men, they said,
and then they said, absolutely.
The hell with that. On the one hand, yes, if you're Tennessee, it's an interesting, because when Tennessee loses, you immediately see... Memphis fans, certain Memphis fans, not all, but certain are rejoicing, right? And I saw people posting number of Final Fours from every team in the state, and it's Memphis 3, and then listing every other team in the state as 0.
Yep.
Right? And so Memphis fans are rejoicing like they're the 72 Dolphins, 73 Dolphins. What was it, 72 Dolphins? They're
72
rejoicing
Dolphins, right?
Like they're the 72 Dolphins. But here's the truth. So, and I get that. I get that. You don't want to be eclipsed in Final Four appearances, you don't, like, whatever. They won't play you. Like, I totally get the resentment. It's also true that Tennessee has a better program than you do right now.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, that's just, that is.
What about number of second weekend appearances?
Right, just like right now, it's not close in terms of which has had the better program. Tennessee had an excellent year, has the better program right now. The problem with Tennessee is, you know, Dalton Connect he's leaving. You know what I mean? Like, this, it felt like this really could have been the Final Four year.
Yeah, I really felt like the bigger issue was not, like, yes, okay, the fouls are the fouls, but we've discussed, that's every Purdue game. I really felt like the bigger issue was you needed just one other guy other than Connect, who was just awesome yesterday. He really was. Right. They needed someone else to step up, and they didn't
do it.
And
no one else did. Congratulations to the Vols on their year, but it ends. Purdue goes on. And honestly, I feel happy for them. Like, I was there when they lose, you know, to the 16 seed.
Yeah.
It's humiliating. I mean, it is humiliating, and they have to live with that. Maybe, you know what it is? I think it's my empathy as a Buffalo Bills fan. You suffer enough humiliations and disappointments and whatever else. There has to be a part of you if you're a human being. It's like not resenting Cubs fans when they finally, like, won a World Series, right? Like, Purdue is going to a Final Four. They get to not have to live with this stigma. Zach Edey said some stuff after the game, and I don't know, like, some people are upset about it. I don't really see why. Here's what Zach Edey said.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Quick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People looked
is
past
that,
me.
Like, I was, people
can't do that anymore.
People criticized him for, quote-unquote, ripping Rick Barnes. That's, like, the oldest thing. He was a three-star. He was a three-star. Everyone looked over him. It's like, who hasn't? Freaking Tom Brady uses that. Who doesn't use that? Every player who's drafted, you know, outside the top 10 remembers every team that skipped over me. Like, I don't understand why that is classless at all.
Well, like, one of the clips we love is any time someone can name every, you know, Brown can name every guy that was drafted in front of him.
Like, it's just the oldest. We haven't heard Zach Edey talk like that much before.
He showed some emotion, which, by the way, I felt like he earned that opportunity.
100%. So I don't know why that was. I saw on social media some people criticizing him for being classless. He just pointed out he's been overlooked, including, by the way, by the coach he just beat.
Well, not only that, like, imagine the amount of crap that guy's like taking.
Yeah,
like, he's not even good at basketball. He's just big. It's like, I don't know. He looks pretty good at basketball to me. We can talk about his pro prospects, but like, he looks pretty good at basketball to me.
All right. Let's do Alabama Clemson next. You know what's interesting here is that we keep trying to find formulas for, okay, what's the formula for how to, particularly as applied to Memphis? Like,
sure.
Why? Is the formula experienced players? Is the formula no turnover? Is the formula shooting threes? Is the formula having a big? Is the formula? And what you realize is there's no formula because Alabama had literally their entire staff turned over. They all got head coaching jobs.
Even like support staff.
Right, support staff turned over. The roster turned over, and every other team has in the Final Four is really built around their big, or at least has a dominating big.
No, I think it's fair to say built around. Yeah.
And here's Alabama, massive turnover in their roster and in their coaching staff, and they just shoot threes. And there they are, their first Final Four ever. Clemson just sort of felt like they went as far as they could go.
Yeah, to me, like, when you were watching that game, I actually thought Clemson, in terms of, like, game plan and trying to match up with Alabama, I thought they had a pretty good plan. It's just, man, when you let them hit 16
threes and you get from three. And Mark Sears was tremendous.
Well, and I think the huge part was, they made the decision, all right, we're going to let Stevenson, who is not a good three-point shooter,
right.
We're going to see if he can beat us.
And he goes 5 of 8.
We've talked about it. It's like one of the frustrating things when you get into these tournament scenarios and you're like, we want this guy to beat us. And then when you have to live with that guy beat us, like, that just kind of makes it worse.
Does it make it worse, or does it make it, I would take those odds again? You know what I mean?
I think you have to
if
look at,
if we could
at,
get Stevenson shooting 8 threes again, I sort of think it should be, not to quote Penny, but our plan was good. You know?
Yeah.
We had the perfect plan. They were just...
I mean, it's part of the whole one game decides it. You know, in a 7-game series, probably letting Stevenson be the guy to beat you, that's probably the right approach.
Right. But when he goes 5 of 8, Alabama with 89 points in back-to-back games. Nate Oates, obviously, is good at his job.
To me, if you want to do the officiating one, that was the game where I felt like you could really complain about the officiating. Like, I don't think it ended up deciding it, but, like, P.J. Hall getting called for his fifth foul, I didn't really think he fouled him. Then on top of that, you've got the ball going out of bounds. Like, that was the one where I thought the officiating was more questionable.
UConn, Illinois, you mentioned it. For whatever reason, they decide to go right at Donovan Clingan, and it does not go well for them. Clingan, who was at least at this moment, I believe, the official Jeff Calkins Show draft choice for the Memphis Grizzlies, 22, 10, 5 blocks, 3 steals. He was utterly dominant, and UConn unleashed a, still hard to believe, against the number one offense in the country, a 30-0 run.
It has not even been done in college basketball over the last 3 years. They're the first team to do it in 3 years, and they did it against a top 10 team.
It's
in the Elite Eight.
And here's the thing. So they win 77-52.
They were 3 of 17 from 3.
And that's what I was about to say. Newton and Castle were 1 of 12 from the field. As a team, they were 3 of 17 from 3. They win by 25 points, and they shoot 3 of 17 from 3. If their guards played well, what would they have won by? 40? 50? Like, it was nuts. They've now won by 39, 17, 30, and 25. Now, by the way, they've won 10 straight. If you go back a couple of years, they've won 10 straight tournament games by double digits.
They've covered 10 straight games and won 10 straight games.
How are you doing on it, by the way? You riding them all the way?
Jeff, what have I told you?
With them every step of the way. Good kids.
I literally believe this. I don't know of a team that I have no attachment to.
That I've
loved like I've loved this team.
They are favored by 11.5 over Alabama. And then, you know, as the father of a Dukie,
mm-hmm.
and I literally paid my last Duke, the last little shred of a Duke bill yesterday, maybe symbolically, I did root for Duke against Houston, and I did root for Duke yesterday. And the truth is, though, Duke's just not that good. I mean, they're good. They're a good basketball team. Filipowski's a good player. McCain, obviously. I think McCain has helped his stock quite dramatically. I mean, I don't know. Like maybe scouts already knew how good he was, right? But they would not have beaten Houston if Shedd hadn't.
I mean, to me, like that's what it really boils down to. It's like, and granted, like that's hey, you know what?
It's the way it goes. You beat the teams that are in front of you.
Correct.
Right. Absolutely. Look at Florida Atlantic last year. You beat the teams that are in front of you. But they barely beat Houston with Jamal. It was 10-6 when Jamal Shedd goes out. No, 16-10. It was 16-10 when Jamal Shedd goes out. Houston up. As I saw you tweeted, at least at the beginning of that game, Duke looked like it was in hell.
Yes.
Now, they had settled down.
Correct.
Like, after falling behind early, whatever it was, 8-0, whatever it was, after that, they had basically played him even for a few minutes, and then Shedd goes down.
Yes.
But I have very little confidence that Duke would have won that game.
No, I don't think they would have either.
They did play very well defensively.
Well, where I was impressed with Duke that night was even though Houston couldn't score, they were still making it a fist fight.
Right.
And Duke hung in there in the fist fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
It was not their style of game. Like, what was it, the first time in a NCAA tournament game they won and where they didn't score 55 points or something?
And yet it does help when Jamal Shedd, who is great at both ends, goes down. But you still got to figure out a way to win it, right? And they did. And so credit to them for doing it. Yesterday, when they're winning 27-21 at the half, you felt like they had really...
It just felt like North Carolina State could do nothing.
They should have been up by 17.
Yes,
because NC State could have done nothing. DJ couldn't do anything. DJ Burns was in foul trouble, sitting on the bench, and you do that, and all you can do is lead by 6 at the half. It felt like trouble for Duke then, or as everyone besides me who's rooting against Duke felt like. It felt like it was going to be turn out happily at the end, and sure enough, it did. DJ Burns. 29 points, 21 of them in the second half. I'll say this. I know he's a fabulous passer. Once he gets the ball on the block, like...
He's got so many moves.
I don't really understand. I mean, I know he's a great passer.
Yeah.
But don't you double him? Like, don't you try... Like, don't you send... They almost never sent the second guy at him, ever. And he just, like, bucket after bucket after bucket.
Well, to me, like, the big adjustment...
I know, it's pick your poison.
Well, it felt like the big adjustment at halftime was they said, DJ, don't get another foul. Because it felt like on defense, like, he's just, like, standing there. He's like, if you can get by me, you can get by me.
Right.
And it seemed like the decision was, we believe that he's going to stop enough and he's going to make enough, so that's our adjustment. Like, stay on the floor. We need you on offense.
And then DJ Horn was terrific. Another 20 points. He was terrific again. And so you've got this team that would not have made the tournament.
Their coach was getting fired.
This goes back to like the you go back to when Memphis makes the Cotton Bowl, right? There's a simple field goal that SMU should have kicked.
Yeah.
That would have ended that game, and instead Memphis ends up going to the Cotton Bowl. That was that year.
Tulsa.
Right?
It was Tulsa. It was an extra pointer, like a 20-something yarder.
I'm sorry, I said SMU. It was Tulsa. And here Virginia misses a free throw.
Yep. With a kid that's never missed two free throws in a game, I think in his career.
Then they don't foul.
Yes.
And so NC State hits the three to send it into overtime.
Banks it in.
Otherwise, they would not have been here.
Yeah.
And then they go on this run. And are they lucky they didn't have to play? Like, everyone's like, Duke's lucky they didn't have to play Jamal Shedd. You know who else is lucky they didn't have to play Jamal Shedd?
Probably NC State.
NC State.
Yeah.
Very lucky they didn't have to play Jamal Shedd and Houston. Because in the end, I do believe we would have had Purdue versus Houston.
Well, I mean, you can also make the argument, you know, NC State's lucky that UConn, or I beg your pardon, that Kentucky loses to Oakland, so then they get Oakland in their second round matchup.
Right.
That game goes to overtime. They win
right.
that one. I mean, that's the way
that's
the tournament works.
That's the way
works.
The tournament goes. You get the draw you go.
That's how an 11 seed makes it.
The draw unfolds the way the draw unfolds, and so there you go. And I don't, you know. So you try to look at all of that happened over the weekend and extract lessons from it. And really the biggest lesson is...
Get lucky.
Make the tournament.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, make the tournament. Because, we got two number one seeds in there, but there's also a 4 and an 11 in there.
Yeah.
Make the damn tournament. Do what you have to do to make the tournament, because you never know. And yes, are you better off if you have... if you're better off if you have some experienced players? Yes. I don't think that's even debatable, right? It's debatable if you have some experienced players who've been in the program. It's also, you're better off if you can hit threes, right?
Yeah.
But you got Alabama that doesn't really have a lot of continuity in the program. And you got UConn that went 3 of 17 from three.
Yeah.
So there's no one way. It's a crazy-ass tournament. Get in the tournament, and you never know what can happen. Anything else strike you from all the games over the weekend?
I don't know. Like, I've always, every time you watch UConn, I think the thing that's interesting to me is normally when we see a team this dominant, they're not that interesting. I still find that this team's somewhat interesting.
Yeah. No, they are.
Is that just me going, I have UConn googly eyes?
No. I mean, their coach is interesting. Their big is interesting for Grizzlies fans.
Yeah.
Like, their big is interesting. Their guards are interesting. I think they are an interesting team. It's not interesting once they're up 20.
I mean, they've had a 30-point lead in every game. I don't know. I mean, it just feels to me like, I guess when I've, like, thought about the terms, like, how are they going to get beat? I think that's the big question.
So they've got Alabama this.
Correct. And that if Alabama shoots 50 threes and makes 25 of them,
exactly.
Okay.
Then that's exactly right. I mean, here's the truth, is that we have seen dominant college teams lose championship games or Final Four games before, whether it was UNLV, whether it was a Duke team,
yep.
whether it was very famously
undefeated Kentucky,
Georgetown losing to Villanova. Like, that was insane. Patrick Ewing and Georgetown losing to Villanova. That was crazy.
Phi Slamma Jamma losing to NC State.
So there's, yes, Phi Slamma, exactly. You've got, and this is the first time they're back. So,
yeah.
So it seems impossible. Like, it seems obvious that UConn's going to win. It seems impossible that they could lose. But, yeah, you're exactly right. They're playing Alabama next. Alabama can hit a million threes.
And, I mean, I guess...
There you go.
The other thing is, I was thinking is...
I mean, Donovan Klingon can't block threes.
Well, no, but, I mean, the other thing I was thinking is... I know we don't have, like, a ton of years of it. Is this the first time we've had a team make the Final Four and the college football playoff? I couldn't think of someone off the top of my head.
That's interesting.
Because, like, when Ohio State did it... Made the Final Four, there wasn't. I was trying to think, like, maybe one of those Oregon teams.
And then Purdue, NC State, you know, you got the two bigs, which will be interesting. It doesn't feel like, for DJ Burns, it's going to go well. And the reason is that, like, he's been the previously unknown for the average American gem who has emerged. Like, if you follow sports, you know who Zach Edey is.
If you follow the fat athlete, who DJ Burns is, obviously.
That's fine, but now DJ Burns has announced himself to America. I mean, Jokic tweeted over the weekend, confirmed DJ Burns fan,
yes.
Right? The guy is fat, and we love fat people.
We love fat athletes.
Here's the truth. This is just true. We as Americans are fat.
So, yes, obviously.
So, but what's interesting is we don't love, we, even though we are ourselves fat, I do think we judge fat people in life. But fat athletes we love.
Correct.
Why is that?
Because, I don't know, we're hypocrites.
But like the fat person sitting next to you on the airplane, you're not so happy about.
Because it doesn't inconvenience us to watch a fat athlete.
Right, but even the fat person at McDonald's whose orders, you know, whatever, don't you,
I usually can't judge because I'm in line. I'm usually in line with
it. There's a lot of years in my life when I've not wanted to look a picture at myself because I look enormous. And let's just say this, fleshy.
Mm-hmm.
I look fleshy. So, yeah, no, I'm in line with them too. But we do love fat athletes. Here's the thing, though. He can't shoot over Zach Edey. Like, Duke was totally overmatched. Like, he could back anyone down.
Right.
And then he has such sweet, soft touch, he could shoot over or around or twist or what. How can he do that to Zach Edey? Particularly if Zach Edey's going to get all the calls.
I mean, I guess maybe...
I don't think he can. He's going
to... Maybe DJ's more likely to get a foul call. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe
like, I'm grasping at straws
maybe
here.
Maybe he will get Zach Edey in foul trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's much more likely he will be in very quick foul trouble.
By the way, I think Oklahoma made it. Oklahoma got both. Yeah.
So, I could talk myself into why both those games will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, DJ against Zach Edey. I think that will be interesting. And can Alabama hit a million threes to beat UConn, or is UConn the juggernaut? I think that will be, they're both interesting, but let's be honest. Between them, there's a 20-point line. And then, so ultimately, I think we all expect to get Purdue and UConn.
Yeah, and I think most people would say, hey, that's been...
Which is great.
Two of the three best teams all year. That's
and then
what
Houston
we
isn't there because Shedd's gone.
Correct, and they had other injuries. Like, in the end, the reason why Houston's not there, they had injuries before that injury, and then the killer injury. Right. But, like, I felt like we said this a month ago. I could see where the tournament ended up being nuts, and it really didn't end up being all that crazy. Like, we do have a 4-11, but for the most part, it kind of...
How's it been? Good? I think it's been a good tournament.
I think it's been very watchable. Is it going to be, like, an all-timer?
No.
I don't think so.
I suppose if UConn...
Purdue. Like,
and Purdue, if someone wins on a last-second shot, that... But in the end, what... We'll remember DJ Burns, and we'll remember... The run that NC State went
Kentucky
on.
Kentucky getting beat.
And honestly, that's the best part of the tournament, with all due respect. And then you'll remember the dominance of UConn, if that's the way it plays out.
Yeah.
You'll remember redemption by Zach Edey and Purdue, right? You'll remember that.
But I just
think it's been great.
I felt like for at least over a month, I have felt I could see a bunch of teams in the Final Four, but I would be surprised if UConn, Purdue, or Houston don't end up winning it. And now, to me, it still feels like I'm going to be surprised if UConn or Purdue doesn't end up winning it.
So in the meantime, tonight we have, on the women's side, we have Iowa versus LSU, which feels like it should be a freaking championship game.
Not feel like a game we should get in the Elite Eight.
In the championship game, of course, last year, LSU won 102-85. That had 9.9 million viewers on average, peaked at 12.6, and it is going to be massive, massive tonight. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. It's amazing because as pros, they don't get paid much.
Yeah.
The women stick around, right?
Yeah.
The women stick around, and you get to know the characters better than you do the men.
Generally
speaking.
I would also argue it's also a very top-heavy sport.
And it's a top-heavy sport.
And so because it's a top-heavy sport, you can focus on...
On the top. You
correct.
Can focus on the
You don't have to learn...
USC versus UConn, no slouch of a game tonight either.
No, for sure.
But you've got Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Iowa and LSU, and that will be absolutely fascinating. Now, we did have, over the weekend, Kim Mulkey, of course, is the head coach at LSU, and we had a couple of things that happened. One is the story that she had been railing against a week ago in the Washington Post, that story dropped. And I have seen it largely described as often described. The word that I've seen it most used to describe it is a nothing burger, is what people have described it as. And I'll just say this about that story. Kent Babb's a terrific reporter and a terrific writer. What that story was a deeply reported feature about a complicated, wildly successful, and polarizing basketball coach of the sort that you see all the time.
Sure.
About whether it's Bill Belichick and his methods, or you pick it, like Nick Saban and his methods.
The coach's profile. How many of those have we read in our lives?
Coach's profile. And some coaches' profile have, does he go over the line in this way or that way? And so it explored, that's what I would use the word, it explored whether she's homophobic or her relationship, well chronicled, honestly, because Brittany Griner wrote about it, her rocky relationship with her, you know, best player she's ever coached, well, one of the best players she's ever coached in Brittany Griner, and how she didn't, you know, wasn't particularly supportive when Brittany Griner was imprisoned in Russia. And so it explored those issues. There was nothing in that story that was explosive, or it was not in any way a expose, a hit piece. It was a feature of the sort that you would read, a really well done feature above the sort that you could read about any controversial coach ever. Wouldn't you say that? The only reason that people say, well, that was nothing, is that if you're assuming it was supposed to be a hit piece. Like if the reason you assumed that is because Kim Mulkey reacted to it in advance like it was going to be a hit piece. Like there was going to be, and so when people read it, they're like, well, there was nothing here. Well, it's not that there was nothing here any more than there's in any feature about, you name the coach. There's a story about Will Wade in The Athletic right now, right? A week ago. Story about Will Wade in The Athletic. And it talked about Will Wade, talked about his strengths, talked about his weaknesses, talked about his baggage, talked about all that stuff. And when you read it, you don't say, well, that's a nothing burger. You just say, oh, there's a story about the complicated guy named Will Wade. It's just because, quote unquote, expectations were raised in advance by, honestly, Kim Mulkey. And so I learned things, but I didn't know that much about Kim Mulkey. Like I knew she dressed famously. I knew she had right-wing politics. I didn't know she didn't speak to her father or her sisters. Lots of people obviously did, but I didn't know that. So I learned things in reading the story, but there was nothing explosive about it. Did you think?
No, I mean, I think probably I did know a decent amount about her.
Right.
I didn't really read anything like, oh, can't believe that.
There was no headline.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, she's a complicated, polarizing woman.
Yes. Who's wildly successful.
Who's wildly successful. And by the way, it said all that too.
Yes.
You know, what was interesting then is over the weekend, she took the occasion to point out an LA Times column that had been written about LSU and that was, frankly,
garbage. Yeah.
And she was 100% right. It was garbage. It basically took the sort of good versus evil,
yeah,
you know, thing like you would when you know who is when anyone's playing the Patriots when they were cheating, right?
Sure.
What I mean, like you write, you take, and you say, they're wearing the white hats and they're wearing the black hats, and like they took this sort of good, this writer, this for the LA Times. It was just so poorly, honestly, tastelessly, clumsily done that it just was garbage.
It just backfired. Just was, like, you know what I mean?
It was total garbage. And the phrase that this guy used, it was like, here's the milk and cookies Iowa team versus, quote unquote, dirty debutantes. I do not know how that gets in the paper. I don't know how any reporter who's made it to the LA Times can write that phrase. I don't know how an editor who reads that can allow that phrase to get into the paper. It's vile. And she was right to call it out. She was 100% right to call it out. And the LA Times has subsequently retracted the column because the column was garbage. All of this, of course, then feeds into tonight. We've got Iowa versus LSU. Do you have any sense of, like, do you have any feel for this game?
I kind of lean LSU, but I don't really have anything other than it's the last time I saw these two teams play. Like, the athleticism LSU just gave Iowa fits.
Yeah. All right, we got to get Dan Devine's coming up next, then Chris Harrington, and then we got a whole lot more to talk about. I've gone on too long. This, by the way, the last chance for the six-hour, 60% off sale from Robert Irwin Jewelers. This time, the one on Perkins Extended. That's the store I go to. Once again, the way they're doing this is, it is a 60% off sale. Anything in the showcase, diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, all 60% off, engagement rings, designer jewelries, name brand watches, everything in the store, 60% off. This time, and it's the last one, at the Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins Extended across from Laurel Wood and Novel Bookstore. We got to take a break. Dan Devine, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's a BetMGM College Basketball Update, presented by BetMGM on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN is your home for tournament updates, presented by BetMGM, and all the latest hoops news and Memphis Tigers updates on their offseason here. Number one seed UConn and Purdue move on, along with Alabama and NC State all moving into the Final Four. NC State upset Duke. That's the Wolfpack's ninth consecutive win, including a five-game winning streak, rolling into the Final Four. Semifinal games are Saturday in Arizona with the Natty 1 week from today. In the women's bracket, it's South Carolina and NC State. NC State upset Texas yesterday on court with different length three-point lines on each side of the court. Tonight, it's a women's national championship rematch in the semis with Kim Mulkey on the sidelines for LSU taking on Iowa and national sensation Caitlin Clark on ESPN TV at 6:15. 92.9 FM ESPN is your home for tournament updates presented by BetMGM. Please gamble responsibly.
Heard the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
Jackson, hue yeah!
People are saying Jackson Hugh yeah to Jackson Hewitt because they love saving money on tax prep. Do you love saving money? Then switch to Jackson Hewitt today and pay less than last year. Thousands of people have already made the switch. Why haven't you? Stop waiting and start filing. You won't get a better deal or a better catchphrase. All together now.
Jackson Hugh yeah!
Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Planning for spring at Lowe's means big savings on outdoor power equipment. And Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Buy one select Ego string trimmer, leaf blower, or mower kit. Get one select 56-volt battery free. That's up to a $299 value. Power through spring with Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 4/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The laundry room. For as long as I can remember, this was the only place to get a good Wi-Fi connection. Until we got Xfinity. Now we have Wi-Fi all over the house. So, you're probably wondering why I'm still hanging out in here, when I could be happily streaming in the attic, basement, or literally any other room. Well, the truth is, it's warm in here. And I like the smell of dryer sheets.
Get out of here, weirdo.
Hey, close the door. You're letting cool air in.
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi with Xfinity. Now through April 21st, get started with 300 megabit internet for $35 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract and get free Wi-Fi equipment included for a year. Plus, ask how you can save 40% over T-Mobile in your first year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Actual speeds vary. Converts Xfinity Connect More Internet against T-Mobile Home Internet at $60 per month. Regular pricing applies after promo period.
Ready to take your skills to the next level? Introducing the MoreTech Retrofit Installer Technician Class, also known as Weatherization Training, a comprehensive two-week training course designed to equip you with the knowledge and skills needed to excel in the weatherization industry. Learn to identify worker and client safety hazards and use proper personal protective equipment and safe work practices. Discover the fundamentals of building science and understand the house as a system, from air sealing measures to insulation and ground moisture barriers. You'll master the essentials of weatherization and gain expertise in duct inspections and learn to evaluate, remove, and reinstall windows and doors. Course material is curated from the best in the country. Don't miss out. The MoreTech Retrofit Installer Technician Class, held Monday through Thursday from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at 1200 Poplar Avenue. Secure your spot today for just $2,000. Take a step towards a brighter future. Call 901-726-1977 or visit moretech.edu. That's MOORETECH.EDU.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties or buy two, get three free with your card. Limit 10. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Kathy, you know, I've been seeing those State Farm commercials. You guys have built quite a team. Mahomes, Kelsey, Derrick Henry.
Bundle my auto and Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, we're proud of that team, and I'm proud of my team.
Your team is awesome. I know firsthand. If there's a question or problem, they're on top of it.
My name is on the sign outside, but it's my talented team inside that makes the difference.
Hey, call Kathy Thurman Edwards, State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle.
901-767-7744. I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
Hi, I'm Jay Gaddis with James Gaddis Jewelers. Are you looking to pop a question but don't know where to start? Come by Memphis's premier family-owned jewelry store, where we specialize in crafting dreams into reality. From dazzling diamonds to exquisite engagement rings, from modern fashion to one-of-a-kind custom creations as unique as your love, we have it all. Come visit us today on Poplar Avenue in East Memphis near Mendenhall, and let us help you find the perfect gift to celebrate life's extraordinary moments at James Gaddis Jewelers, your family jeweler.
You turn the thermostat up and then back down, but still you can't seem to get comfortable. More than a matter of degree, comfort involves a balance of temperature, humidity, and airflow. At Landmark Heating and Air, we'll help you strike the perfect balance. Now's the perfect time to invest in your home comfort with a custom-designed, high-efficiency Train system and enjoy energy savings and worry-free comfort year-round. Take advantage of tax credits and rebates, plus interest-free financing for even more savings. Call us today or visit LandmarkHeatingandAir.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader, too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Hi. I'm so glad I reached you at 2 a.m.
Oh, of course. Anyone with a Discover card can call and talk to a real person 24/7. Now, how can I help?
Yeah, I used my Discover card to buy these yellow pleather pajamas, and I'm just not sure I'm pulling them off.
24/7 U.S.-based customer service. It pays to Discover. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. Tourney time is here. Mike Valeni and I are going through every matchup of the Big Dance over on the podcast.
We're talking sides, totals, mix in a reckless parlay every now and then. Come on, it's fun. We've got tourney trends, futures, plays, who wins the national title, something for every bettor and every sports fan. Region by region, game by game, however you want to digest it, it's there. Download Cash the Ticket today. It's on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports calendar is loaded. And FanDuel's making it even more exciting to get in on the action because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tourney, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K. And make your first bet a big win. FanDuel is America's number one sports book. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire just 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, make sure that you reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Dan Devine. He writes for Yahoo, covers the NBA. Podcast is No Cap Room. It's an essential podcast, and you should follow him on Twitter or X at Your Man Devine. It's Marc Gasol week here, Dan, sort of as we are preparing to have his number retired this Saturday. How do you think of Marc Gasol?
I think of the nod. I think is the first thing I think of him at the high post and just sort of looking at whoever he's got on the in the corners and going like. And kind of like nodding his head a little bit to the left and going like, if you cut, you're going to score. And like that was, I saw him do it in Memphis. I saw him do it in Toronto. I saw him do it in LA. Like wherever he went, there was that little look of, I can see over everybody and I can fit this ball through this needle and you're going to score. And like, where was that more important than in Memphis where it was such congestion playing all the time. But just like, when I think of him, I think of, that like he was the kind of, you know, not to flatter myself by saying like I pay closer attention than other people, but he was the kind of guy, if you didn't pay close attention, you didn't see it. But when you paid close attention, it was like, oh yeah, they never give up good shots when he's on the floor. They always get better shots than you think they should, even though nobody can shoot and everybody's playing from 15 feet in. And the reason was he saw things other people didn't and had the kind of audacity to make them happen. And we've talked about this a million times. I was in the tank for those grit and grind teams. Like they felt sort of spiritually important for the league the way it was. And there was all the flash and dash and there was, you know, Steph moving the world with the 3-pointer and there was all, you know, LeBron and KD and Kobe and everything. And then there were these guys who would just beat the hell out of you. And secretly the quietest guy on the court was the one who was maybe the most important for all of it. So when I think of Marc Gasol, that's what I think of. And him getting his jersey retired and being celebrated in that way is richly, richly deserved.
In the really excellent documentary that they put together on Mark, the point is made that when he went won Defensive Player of the Year, it sort of heralded, because he didn't have like great counting defensive stats that year.
Right.
It was maybe the first time, and maybe what, maybe I'm, or an early, when an award was decided based on the deeper analytics that, and the, maybe the same things you're describing are the things that some people were noticing, but that everybody wasn't.
Yeah, and I can remember that, you know, my former colleague Kelly Dwyer at Ball Don't Lie, we were writing about the awards that year, and there was a point where it's like, how do you sell this to people who are going to look at it and say, like, that many blocks per game, that, you know, that many steals, like, how does this, and then, like, the eye test, it's not like he's, you know, sprinting around the court at 1,000 miles per hour.
Right.
And there was a lot of, like, you're writing paragraphs about, like, subtle pre-rotations, and you're like, man, this isn't going to go over so hot. But then so you lean into those numbers, and you're like, when he is on the court, they are an anaconda strangling other teams. And this is a team that wins on the strength of that. and on like this is what powers that even more than Tony. I mean, obviously all of it works together, but like Tony Allen's on ball pressure, the way Mike Conley gets over screens, et cetera, et cetera. But beyond the back line is this thing that powers all of it and emboldens those guys. It wasn't always an easy sell, but I think you're right. I think that was sort of a viewpoint of what is to come in terms of how we understand defense and how we talk about it and what we evaluate as really helpful and what's not.
I have no idea. Like the Basketball Hall of Fame is different because it takes everything into account, right? It's not, it's college basketball. You would think, given the significance of the brothers and the significance of that Spanish national team and then the title and then the honors, that he would be a close, but I think ultimately successful candidate.
Yeah, you know, when he it was in September 2021 when he it was announced he was going to go back to Spain. You know, he was no longer going to be playing in the NBA. I kind of took a look at this. And I'm going to see if I could find the numbers, but like I think that global perspective of here's what he did with the national teams. That's like, it makes him a no-brainer. Like a golden generation player for one of the most vital national teams of the last 25 years, and all the accolades in Eurobasket, in the FIBA World Cups, in Olympic play, all those sorts of things. But even just in terms of his NBA career, 12,000 points, 6,000 rebounds, 2,500 assists, 1,000 blocks, 500 steals, 17 guys ever, right? Like,
wow.
So even like none of those individual numbers blows, you know, or at least as of a couple of years ago, I have not updated the search, but so as of a couple of years ago, less than 20 guys in the history of the game hit those numbers. And you're looking at it and you're like, well, that plus championship plus defensive player of the year plus all NBA play, you know, like you start sort of adding these things up, there would be an argument in and of itself in terms of his NBA career. But again, it's that kind of, it's a little bit of a quieter argument. There's not 15 time all NBA, but you put him in the context of the league that he was playing in and where that Memphis team was situated in that brutal Western Conference, where you've got those Warriors and you've got those Clippers, you've got those Thunder, et cetera, those Spurs teams, like the late model Duncan era Spurs teams. And they were right there, you know, throwing haymakers with those teams, winning series against those teams, in large part due to the way that he sort of conducted everything. So I personally feel like he's a no-brainer. I think if I had, you know, a vote in the secret clandestine group of people in Springfield, Massachusetts that decide these things, I would cast it in his favor. But I think once you consider the totality of the international play, it makes a pretty ironclad case.
I'm just impressed you can come up with those numbers on the fly. That's very impressive. So thank you, Tim.
I've got good Wi-Fi at my mother-in-law's house. That's how we made that work.
News comes out that Joel Embiid is going to be back as soon as tomorrow night. What do you make of that?
Well, first thing, you know who didn't like playing against Marc Gasol was Joel Embiid. There aren't a whole lot of guys that it could go, they could body him up, and Gasol was one of them, and let alone that were also as smart as him. I mean, we saw what this Sixers team could look like with Embiid playing the way he was, and they were, you know what, I think the 2 seed in the East, making a push for one within arm's reach of it. And, you know, you just looked at the offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency numbers, all those things. They were a top 5 team in the league with Embiid healthy. They have been pretty decidedly not that. I think they entered today 40-35, 2 games out of the 6th spot. So they're in the play-in mix, which is, you know, you lose, you go home. But no one is, I feel pretty comfortable saying no one is going to add a more potentially important figure in the next week and a half than Joel Embiid coming back. The question, as always, with these sorts of things is just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.